Right. Captivity of the Hebrew nation in Egypt was a transformative period that moved them from just a mere family to a great nation. When they went into Egypt, they were just the 12 tribes, a little family, the family of, was it? Jacob. They went in there and their stay in Egypt transformed them from that little family to a huge nation. Large number of people. But it didn't come to them in easy. They experienced a lot of bad things in their stay in Egypt. And these things that they went through, what they went through in Egypt, left great effects on their lives and their perspective on God. There were great effects that affected them in the negative way. Remember, when you are in slavery, you have got no freedom. They had no freedom when they were in Egypt. They were subjected to much torture, so much abuse. And this affected them somehow. But I want to tell you something. The Hebrews were a chosen people. They were chosen by God Himself to be His people. They were sanctified people. They were set apart for a reason, for a purpose in the kingdom of God. They were to demonstrate the goodness of God to the nations around, to the peoples around. They were to be an example of how God is to be served and to be worshipped. They were to show the nations how to magnify God. When you read in the Bible, most of the time the instructions to worship God were given to the Hebrews, to the children of Israel. The instructions to build the church were given to the children of Israel. They were not allowed to intermarry with other nations. Why? Because they were sanctified people. They belonged to God. God had a special assignment for them. Do you believe that God has a special assignment for you and me today? Because He has called you to be His children. He has called you to be His. Why? Because He has got an assignment specifically for us, for you and me. But these sanctified people were taken into captivity and were subjected to abuse, which left them with a negative mindset. The forced labor on them humiliated them, made them, see themselves as useless people. You read when they were about to get into Canaan, the spies who came back said, "We look like grasshoppers." They had lost confidence in themselves. They had lost confidence in the God that they saved. Why? Because of their time of slavery in Egypt. Even on their way, God was leading them. But still, they had lost hope and belief in the God who had called them. How do we see that? They were constantly complaining along the way. They had left Egypt, but they were still complaining. "Moses, why your God this, your God that?" It was Moses' God, not their God. Egypt has taken away their identity as the children of God. the genocide that they experienced whilst in Egypt left a mark on their lives. They were killed, their children were thrown in the river Nile. But still, God had great mercy on them. They still multiplied. They were deprived of their livelihood, their economy. They were no longer a people that had dignity, but useless in that period. So when God removed them from Egypt, taking them into Canaan, he didn't take them one day. He had to take many years for them to get to Canaan. Why did it take so many years? My title this morning said, "Read the Egypt in you." He wanted them to get rid of the Egypt that had planted in them, so that they will experience the fullness and the goodness that was prepared for them in Canaan. What was that that was planted in them that God didn't want them to carry into Canaan? One, they had lost their identity. They no longer felt as the people of God, because of the humiliation that they went through in Egypt. They were bitter in them because of the treatment of the Egyptians. They were angry. They doubted God. They didn't really or fully trusted God. That had to go for them to enjoy the richness of Canaan, for them to enjoy the freedom of Canaan, the promised land. They were a people of a broken spirit. They were a people of jealousy, bitterness, and hatred because of what they went through in the land of Egypt. God made them go around and around in the desert to make sure they get rid of all that. Their treatment brought that desire for them to be free. But still, they could not enjoy the total freedom because of the Egypt that was still in them. They could not see the provision of God because they still missed the garlic soup of Egypt. They could not see the freedom that God brought unto them because there was a Red Sea before them and the Egyptians coming before after them. I don't know what we have gone through in life in the past, but God is saying this morning, let's get rid of that. Do not hold on to that. I'm taking you out of Egypt. I'm taking you to Canaan. I want to read this scripture, Luke 9:62. Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." No one who puts his hand to a plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. The children of Israel were no longer allowed to look back into Egypt for them to conquer the land of Canaan. Once you decide to walk with God, I like what Corinthians says. You are now a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. But today we are still holding on to the old, yet we want to experience the new. We are still languishing in our bitterness, in our anger, in our lost identity, in our confusion, but we still want to serve God. We are still looking back, yet our hands are on the plow. We won't get anywhere. I think farmers will tell me that when you are plowing, to make it straight, you don't have to look behind again. You just have to look straight where you're going so that you won't miss the mark. You won't go zigzag. God is saying this morning, do not hold on. Do not look back where you came from. I talked about what love looks like some time back. Then I was sharing to somebody and he said, it's very difficult for me to love again because I'm somehow protecting myself. I could identify with that. I didn't make a comment then, but I went home and I was still thinking, yeah, that's me there. I still nest my hurt in me. Oh, I was hurt. They did this much to me. How could they do this to me? But the word says, forgive. And then move on. But I was still holding on to it. If I want to get out of my cocoon, then that's going to happen again to me. I'm still focusing on the back. But God is saying, when you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. When you want to grow, when you look back, what effect does it have on you? Are you still bitter? Are you still angry? Are you still confused of your identity? Do you really know who you are? Let me remind you of this when we read Colossians 2, 14 and 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. There is no need to take it with you. What happened in the past lays in the past. When you look at it, it has to challenge you to move on. Are we there? Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Sorry, can I use your Bible? I will start from verse 18. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Every bad thing that was against us, That means the abuse of Egypt has been cancelled and nailed to the cross. All the past experiences are no more. Why? Because they are nailed to the cross. God wants you to get in this new life as a new person without all the accusations from the past. There's no need for us to hold on to that because they were all nailed to the cross. They are no more in our lives. Yes, I understand you have been hurt in the past, but God is saying it's all in the past. It was nailed on the cross. It's no more in existence. You were hurt in the past, but it's no more because it was nailed on the cross. I want you to enjoy the life that I have given unto you this day as a new creation, as a new creature, living in Christ. No longer you yourself living, but Christ living in you. At times our progress is hindered by the things that happened in the past. Let me tell you something. I spent years and years just feeling sorry for myself because a lot of things happened to me and I held on to it. I would hear the word. I would have worship sessions. I would have prayers with people. I would receive counseling from other people, but I still held on to it. Deep inside me, I would say, man, you don't understand what I went through. You don't. So you won't take it lightly. But God was dealing with me, trying to pull that out of me. But I was refusing. I was holding on to it. Until I had to surrender it to Him. Nail it to the cross. I want to read 1 Kings 19. You have it? 1 Kings 19. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened with the scriptures that I had given. Okay, I'll just say it out. 1 Kings 19, verse 21. When Elisha was summoned by Elijah to follow him, when you read verse 21, it says that Elisha... So, okay, it's there now. Thank you. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burnt the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. There's one thing that, you know, hit me a lot reading this story. Elijah just came and put his coat on Elisha. And Elisha had to ask Elijah, wait, I'll come back. And he went back to the folks that he was working with, took the cattle that they were using to plow, killed the cattle, took the plows, and used them as firewood, and roasted the cattle, and they ate. I asked myself, this was his livelihood. They were farming. But he went back there and destroyed everything that he used to farm with so that he would follow Elijah. And I said, God, what are we to do now? What are you saying to us? Say, go back and destroy that what holds you back. It's an action that you have to take yourself. Jesus took the action of nailing it, the cord, the accusations, and all that happened in the past, nailing it to the cross. But you're still holding on to it. God is saying, go back and destroy that. At one point, Jesus said, when you're about to give your offering and you realize that you have an offense or something against your brother, before you do anything, go and make amends. We cannot grow in our Christian walk if we haven't dealt with that of the past. If the yoke is still there, if the cattle is still there, the land is still there, you still have to go back and plow it. Something will be inviting you back there. But he made sure that it's all destroyed so that he would follow without anything that will call him back to that life again. There is a lot that we have in our lives or holding on in our lives that draws us back from following Christ today. Listen, God is saying, destroy that so that you follow me. The pride that you have, destroy that so that you follow God. The bitterness that you have, destroy that so that you follow him. What is it that we are holding on to this morning that's hindering us from growing, from moving forward, from serving God the way we are supposed to serve God? Are you still bitter because you've been hurt in the past? Are you still angry because you've been offended in the past? Destroy that and follow God. Never will you be disappointed when you do that. You feel the hurt because you're still holding on to what happened in the past. You're still offended because you're still holding on to what happened in the past. Tell you what, I'm a free man because I left what held me back. I destroyed what held me back. And here I am. I'm moving forward. So you can. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Get rid of the sin that so easily entangles us. It hinders us from moving forward. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He left everything that hindered him for him to enjoy sitting at the right hand of the Father. The pain of the cross, the humiliation from the people that he loved, he had come to serve. He went through that, he passed through that, so that he would enjoy. And this is what Paul is asking us today. Get rid of that and fix your eyes on Jesus and follow him. Folks, when we want to follow him, we have to fix our eyes only on him and nowhere else. What is it that we have to get rid of that holds us back? There's a few. I want to read Matthew 5, 22. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Racha, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. How many times have we done this? At times we justify it. Yeah, he's a fool because he did this to me. You're answerable. And you'll be judged because of that. But God this morning says, destroy that. Ephesians chapter 4, my last scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, growling and slander, along with every form of malice. If we are to win as a people of God, get rid of all that. They didn't just come. They were effects of the past. The bitterness, the rage, the anger, the brawling, and the slander, all were effects of what happened in your life in the past. But God is saying, get rid of that and follow me. Don't wait until it's too late. The day is now. The time is now. It's ticking and it's running out. You'll be coming very soon. Will you be ready, or will you still be holding on to what happened in the past? You'll still be holding on to the unforgiveness that's in your heart. You'll be still treating others in a bad way. I was talking to somebody the day before yesterday at work. Said what Zimbabwe needs at the moment is to get rid of what happened in the past so that we can move forward. We don't need a regime change. We don't need an extension of whatever the terms or what. What we need is a changed heart. A heart that says, God, here we are as a people. I don't care the injustices that happened in the past. Who offended who? But God, here we are as a people. We need God. Let the past be in the past. And remember, it's been nailed to the cross. The cord has been canceled. Everything has become anew. What we have to do is to grow and move forward. May God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come as a people to you. Yes, a lot has happened in the past, but God, I pray that you forgive us and help us to rid of all the bitterness, the malice, the slander, and everything that happened in the past so that we can walk with you freely, that we can serve you as our God and as our Savior. I'm praying in the name of Jesus that you cleanse our eyes, that we only see your glory. and the beauty of your rulership and your kingship in our lives. Help us to leave the past in the past, but to hold on to the new that you have given unto us. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome. What an awesome word, hey, for a time like this. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all have something in the past that we're hanging on to, something that we're reluctant to let hold of. And I think what an amazing word, Joseph. Thank you. Let us get rid of the Egypt in all of us so that we can move forward and operate in what God has for us and the calling that he has on our lives. Amen. What a good word. So guys, we're going to end the service now, and we'd love to fellowship with you and have a coffee. If anyone needs prayer, we'd love to pray for you up in the front here. Please come forward. Amen. Thank you. That was powerful. Thank you. I think it spoke to all of us. Eh?
This you can give to Demas.
Yes.